Thank you so much for your effort tonight to help with our song service.
And when there's not a lot of people here, of course, we all need to be involved and appreciate those that are willing to play up here. It certainly adds a lot, and we're so grateful for that. We pray that God would continue to lead as our orchestra gets bigger and grows and more people can be involved with the music. And then, of course, we just lifting up our voices before the Lord, thankful for the good old hymns that we can sing that we all know, and then other songs that we can learn to that say some great and wonderful things. I don't know if you followed some of the words to what was the song that we sang, the one song that was in here.
Number nine.
Boy, some of the words caught my attention concerning some of the things that we're talking about, of course, Christian liberty and about the one side of the road, which talks much of legalism, and then the other side of license. I just want to remind you again some of the words. Number nine, holiness by faith. It just some of the words. Trying to remember where some of those were, but just the fact that we cannot do it in our own. We have to trust in the Christ, in Himself that can do it. And there were plenty of words in the song that spoke much of, you know, verse one, not a flesh dependent trying nor a passive resting place, but a looking unto Jesus. You know, honestly, those three things that were mentioned right there really say both, all three sides. We've got the middle of the road, which of course is trusting Jesus to help us do what He wants us to do. On the one side, we have legalism. Legalism is flesh dependence. Keep that in mind, flesh dependence. Legalism is when we, you know, the standard is set there and we do everything that we can. We try our utmost to try to reach and we can't do it. And so we depend on our flesh and all in our strength we try to do things. By the way, something that Melissa and I were talking through this past week that kind of hit home with legalism and flesh dependence. A lot of times in flesh dependence, we're not even looking to what God's standard is, but we're setting the standard in some cases to try to say things. In fact, legalism sets your own standard of what you think is right. And God never said anything about setting the standard there. And yet sometimes people in legalism will set a certain standard that was man-made, man-focused, it's flesh, and then they depend on the flesh to try to do it. And then, of course, they get tired of trying because they really cannot do that. God never intended them to do that. And so what they do, they either run away and never come back, or they take the boundary, they take the line, and they jump to the other side of the road, and they bring it down to their level. They lower the hoop and say, you know what, I can do this. In fact, I'm comfortable doing this. And so they bring it down, and what it turns to is it goes from self-dependence to self-indulgence. And so now they live a life of license. You've wondered why you have seen Christians that were so gung-ho about certain rules and regulations and setting certain standards, and they lived it. And what happened is they got tired of trying, because it was done in their own dependence. And so the only thing they knew to do, except for abandon the faith, is to lower their standard completely. And you wonder, why, how did that person go from such a high standard to no standard at all? We've watched it happen over and over. Probably every one of you have watched that happen to people. And you, how did that go from such a high standard to no standard at all? And the problem is that it's flesh-based on both sides. They went from flesh dependence to self-indulgence. Where's the right way? The song referred to looking unto Christ to do it. And we've got to understand, we've got to let Him set the standard. And the Word of God sets the standard. And then we trust Him to help us to be able to do that. We've got to depend upon Him. Folks, I want to tell you something. You live on the one side of the road in self-dependence, flesh dependence, trying to do your own thing, trying to set certain standards that God never set, that are man-made. I tell you what, you try to do that, you're going to get tired, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to feel like, I can't do this. And you're right, because you can't do it. And God never intended you to do that. But can I say this? Don't go to the other side and just say, listen, no standard at all. I'm going to do what I want to. God has a standard set in His Word that we can do, not because of our own self, because He came to help you do it. He came to bear it for you. And the Christian life does not have to be so miserable. I'll tell you, you can mark it down. A Christian that's trying to live the Christian life and they're miserable trying to do it is flesh dependent or flesh, well, they're probably flesh dependent. A Christian that's living life and you say that it doesn't seem like they have a standard at all, they've gone into self-indulgence and neither one of those is right. But I'll tell you this, God never set a standard that you couldn't do through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has provided every bit of power and strength to do it, and you can do it with joy and peace and love and everything that God said, and it doesn't have to be a drudgery. It doesn't have to be a miserable Christian life just suffering for Jesus. You know what? There's nothing about the biblical Christian life that's suffering for Jesus. I mean, yes, are we going to have to suffer? I'm talking about this kind of suffering for Jesus. Like, I just have to do it. You know what? A person that loves the Lord is going to be happy to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we ought to. We ought to be absolutely happy. If you're struggling on that side and you don't feel that, I would suggest that you go to the Lord and read the book of Galatians, because this is really, we looked at it a month ago or so. I can't remember what it was, but the book of Galatians shows the right side. Some living in self-dependence, flesh dependence. Others living in self-indulgence, flesh indulgence. And then the right way is to look to Jesus. And He's going to help you to do exactly what He wants you to do. Now we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we get to this very difficult situation of, okay, so I've got understanding, I've got knowledge, I've got wisdom, I know the Word of God. We have a group of people here, it's a Sunday night, we have a group of people here that no doubt, probably many of you know a lot of the fundamentals of the faith. You have been in church many of you have been in church for a long time. You know the truth. Many of you know the Word of God fairly well, and you're familiar with it. You understand why we should do certain things, why we shouldn't do certain things. And some of you maybe are very well grounded. Does that mean everybody, though, in a church setting is grounded in all the truths of the Scripture? What's the answer? Absolutely not. In fact, there's a lot of people that really don't. In some cases, some people have just come to trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and they're baby Christians, and they don't know. There are people that maybe have been saved for a long time that haven't been involved in a good church, that have been teaching the Word of God and the doctrines, the principles by which we should live, and they don't really understand some of these things. The problem with the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 was these people, they were very learned. In fact, they grabbed their coats here and they did one of these, and they said, we know better than these people. And so Paul is addressing these people that knew a lot. Let's review a little bit. Is it good to know truth? What's the answer? Absolutely it is. Don't walk out of this room tonight thinking that pastor's saying it's not important to have knowledge or wisdom. It absolutely is. We need to know the truth. And I want to encourage you that you need to get into the Word of God aside from Sunday school, aside from DBS, aside from Sunday morning, aside from Sunday night, and aside from Wednesday night. You need to be getting into the Word of God and not just reading a verse or two. You need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be students of the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Being able to look at the Word of God and understanding what the Word of God says, of course, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit illumining your hearts and minds to see the truth. My friend, He can do that. By the way, one of the things of Discovery Bible Studies is, one of the goals is to help teach you how to learn to get things from the Word of God on your own. And so we want to be able to do that. Every Christian ought to be getting the Word of God on their own, studying the Word of God. Ought we to get knowledge and understanding from God's Word? The answer is yes, absolutely. We ought to have knowledge. But does knowledge end there with just getting knowledge? No. What does Paul say happens when we just get a bunch of knowledge? Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, as touching things offered unto idols, we know. You know this. These people knew a lot. They knew. They know. We know that all have knowledge. What does he say? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now that's an interesting thing. So he says, knowledge puffeth up. Again, in review, is knowledge good? Yes, get knowledge. We need to get knowledge. But what we need to be careful with is if we have knowledge, like we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, knowledge without love is nothing. Nothing at all. What we need to have is knowledge with love. And so he's getting at this. Now, he's getting into it a little bit deeper because he's going to start saying there's a danger with knowledge because we can know so much and we can use our knowledge and we can run people over and hurt people because they might not know. Now, again, we're a diversified group. Now, maybe tonight, maybe we have a little bit more of the group that is in the know, maybe. Maybe you know a lot. But can I say that's exactly, then this is the right setting. Because this is who Paul is talking about. He says, you know, you folks know a lot. He said, you better be careful not to take your knowledge to run people over because you can really hurt people not understanding what they know or what they don't know. And so we're going to dive into that just a little bit more here. The issue here with these people, and I would say it was probably just one of the issues, but now is touching things offered unto idols. We've gone and reviewed this even a couple times already, so I'm not going to take the entire time, but obviously there were people that were involved in idol worship, right or wrong. It's wrong, okay? They were involved, and we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be involved in that. And they were offering meat to these false idols, and then they were taking the leftovers, and then they were taking them to the markets, the restaurants, whatever the case, and then they were selling to them to those things to the people, the public, and there were Christians in the group that were saying, "Hey, you know what do we do? Now we know certain things, but." What do we do? Because there's other people that are struggling with this. They're struggling and they're saying, well, you know, they're looking at us and pointing fingers. And what do we do about this? Because we know better. And Paul is saying, you better be very careful on what you know. What you know is good and you need to operate that way. By the way, if God has revealed something to you in Scripture and has convicted you of something in your life and what you ought to do or what you ought not do, you better do it. You better follow that. You need to obey what God has given you to do in your personal life. God has convicted you about a certain type of lifestyle or a certain thing or a certain standard in your life, and he's shown you through his word, and you don't, it's not a man-made thing. He's shown you that you need to live your life in a certain way. My friend, I want to tell you, you better follow that. You better live by that. God is not asking us to just to haphazardly do whatever we want to. No, when God speaks, you need to follow that thing. But Paul is reminding us here. He's saying, listen, you ought to live the way you want to, but you better be very careful on your outlook on other people that might not have been shown these things. Now, before we go on, I want to say what is given is what is given. You know, just because somebody doesn't know doesn't mean that they're off the hook. I mean, there's a truth. My friend, I want to tell you something. Every person, if you're saved, we are responsible for the Word of God. But what we want to look at is God brings us along. And he shows us things as we learn, as we grow, he shows us things. But we are responsible for the law. You know, if you are speeding down the road and you get pulled over by a police officer and he comes, you know, to tell him that you never read that in the book, is probably not going to work. Now, it might, but it shouldn't work, okay? It shouldn't work because you're responsible for it, right? You're responsible for it, and the Word of God is given to us. You're responsible for it, so this is not some sort of a license to do whatever you want to do. That's not what Paul is saying, but he is saying that you need to be careful because other people who he refers to as weaker don't quite understand everything. Now, I don't know how much that I want to take the time to just continue to review because I got a boatload of notes that we've already gone through. So we're not going to go through all of that. We've gone through verse 3, and we've hit that. But I want you to, let's look at verse 4, okay? I just feel like we need to move on and make some more progress here. So we're in verse 4, and so Paul's going to get deeper into this situation with the idols and the idol worship, and he's going to start to parse some things out here. Now listen, I understand that our issues in today probably are not idol worship and then meat offered to idols and what we do with it. That's probably not what you have. But as we go through this, my challenge to you is to think through some of the issues and some of the things. I almost made a list tonight of some practical things that we do, and I'm just not convinced yet of that, if I ought to do that, because I know as soon as I put things on a list, somebody's going to say, well, you're implying then that if I'm a stronger Christian, then that must mean that this is okay, and I don't think that it is. And I'm careful to go there. I don't know if we will. I'm going to rely upon the Holy Spirit to show me if I should do that or not. But the fact of the matter is, I want you to be thinking in life, because I'll tell you, it's not maybe idol worship and meat today, but there's a lot of things that people, you know, one person understands this. You know, does background have a lot to do with where, you know, with the things that we understand and believe?
Yes.
My friend, it does. Do you realize that everybody didn't grow up in the same type of home that you did? It's unique. It's different. And what he's talking about here is about love. You need to love your brother enough that you're patient with him. You know how we looked at long suffering this morning? And we need not to just look at somebody else and say, you're a Christian, you ought to know better than that. We've got to be so careful with this. And so Paul's going to go right through this, and we're going to follow right through. So what did these people know? Look at verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. So he comes back and says, okay, so now concerning these things, he says this. Here's the first, we know. We know, or you know, we all know this. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other but no other God but one. What's the reality of an idol? Let's say that, you know, the night before there was a group of people, you know, pagan worshipers, and they went over these false gods, and they had hewn out of a stone, you know, an idol that's this big and this wide, and there they are, and they're bowing down to it, and they're sacrificing and their animals, and they're offering this meat to them, whatever. All right, so here we have this idol here. We know what? What did the people know about this thing made out of stone? What was it? It was a piece of stone, right? And we all understand that. And these people understood that. They say, we know. Paul is kind of speaking on their behalf. You know this. We know that that's not a God. In fact, what does he say here? We know that that's not God because God is one. We know that there is only one God. Do we know that? We know that. We know there's only one God. Is this a God? You're imagining this idol here. Is this a God? No. It's a false God, small G-O-D. We know that. I mean, they claim it as that. But is this God? Is this God? No, it's not. And Paul said, we know, we understand that that's not a God. So the application, we're not involved in idol worship. We know that there's nothing having to do that. There's nothing involved with this God, really. The people understood that. He goes on in verse 5, for though there be... there be that are called gods, small G-O-D-S, whether in heaven and earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. You see, these people knew that idols were not the true God. They knew that there was only one true God. Even though they were called gods, they were not the one true God. Now, why is this important? Why was this important as far as the Corinthians were concerned? They knew this. You see, if these idols were false and of no value, the meat was being offered to nothing. A piece of stone. Nothing. That's what they would understand. So, the idol's false and of no value, meat being offered to nothing. Again, you know, a piece of meat offered to a carved stone or wooden idol that you might have even, if wood, whittled out of your own board at home with your own knife. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 26, he's speaking, moreover, ye see and hear that none alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Paul had made a big effort. This isn't a God. This is nothing. This is nothing but a piece of wood. This is nothing but a piece of stone. This is nothing. Psalm 115, verses 4-7, their idols are silver and gold. They work of men's hands. I mean, that right there tells you, I mean, a man carved this. Well, they can't be a god. These people knew that. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They knew that these were God's. What else did they know? Second of all, what else did they know? Look at verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. You know, even Paul says that there is nothing moral about meat. Paul says there's nothing to this idol and there's nothing to this meat. In fact, God had already declared anything that we put into our bodies as nothing. That which we put into a man cannot defile, but that which comes out of a man, he says. So even Paul says he knows that there's nothing moral about meat, and we're no better or we're no worse for eating or abstaining from meat. And people had liberties for that. But again, remember, you go back to the situation with the Jews and the Gentiles and Cornelius there and the vision that were given there. And Paul declared the things that under the law were unclean, now clean. And these people could eat. And this was not according to the law. And they could do what they wanted to do with the food in which they ate. And so Paul is making a point here. He says, there's nothing. You know, you take this idol worship. So Friday night, this group of people came out, and they were worshiping idols, and they're sacrificing and serving meat. Right or wrong? Wrong, okay? They're doing wrong. But you take the individual parts. You take this stone. What is it? Nothing. You take this meat. Anything wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. And what's the conclusion there that the people, what did they know? There's nothing with this thing. You know, why wouldn't we be able to eat meat? And I want to submit to you tonight, Paul is really saying the very thing. There really isn't anything wrong with eating this meat. And the people understood that, and the people knew this. But Paul begins to get to the problem at this point. Okay? He gets to the problem, and he starts to address it. And here's where we need to really pick up. Look at verse 7. Okay, go back a little bit. Let's look at verse 7. He says, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. All right, let's review. What did these people know about this? The whole practice was not right. Idol worship and sacrifice is not right. Is there anything with the stone? No. Anything with the meat? No. Conclusion? Nothing wrong. You know that, but what does he say in verse 7? Everybody doesn't understand this. In fact, it's time that we start thinking that maybe somebody else has a different background. They don't understand everything. And I want to be very careful here. One of the things that I struggle with is because we can get a mentality of like, these people don't understand all the things I know. These people have never been taught like I've been taught. You know what? They're the weaker brother. You realize here, I would say even in this passage, the weaker brother is lifted up. Compared to this individual that is so proud that thinks that he can do anything no matter what, I would suggest to you that that's where the problem lies. This is not a passage that's talking about these weak brothers that don't know anything. It's talking to a group of people that know a lot of things that are looking down their noses saying, I don't understand why these people don't get it. I don't understand why. Where are they at? Why aren't they getting involved here? Don't they, you know, why do they wear those clothes? Why don't they look like this? Why don't they get involved this way? And we look, this is who Paul is talking about. A group of people that, yes, you ought to get involved, and yes, you ought to maybe dress in a certain way. Maybe you ought to worship in a certain way. Maybe we ought to do all these things. But don't you do it at the expense of other people. Remember, this kind of knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Love edifies. We've got to be, Paul is making a point, we've got to be more concerned about our brothers and sisters and not running them over than we do about what we know. And so he says, howbeit there is not in every man that knoweth, or knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol into his hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So here Paul says that there's not all of men have this knowledge that these people had. And since the idols were nothing and their meat was amoral, if we could say, I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. But there were those that were who were considered what Paul called weak, who really understood. They understood that idols were a bad thing, and they were. Was an idol a bad thing? Of course it was. That's not a good thing. And these people looked at that. They don't understand. Wait a second. That's just a hunk of wood. There's nothing there. They and their backgrounds are looking Some of these people had just been pulled out of this idol worship. And for them to relate anything like this, he said, I want to stay far away as I ought to. And you know, to tell you the truth, that's probably a good thing. Because they were so closely associated with it. There's nothing, you know, for this guy over here, he said, listen, I know better than that. Eating that meat the next day that was sold at a market doesn't mean that I'm worshiping that idol. That idol is a piece of wood. That idol is a piece of stone. This meat is a piece of meat, and it tastes good, and there's nothing with it. But I better be more careful about my brother than what I want to eat with my taste buds. We've got to be careful. And see, Seth, that's where the rubber meets the road here, is we look at our rights. And we start to look at our rights over our brother, and what happens is it defiles the other brother. It sears his conscience. And either one of two things, he's either going to look at me and say, what in the world is that preacher doing? Doesn't he understand? I mean, I was just in this a month ago. And I've gotten saved, and I pull out of it, and here he is. I want to tell you something. I better be really careful with what I'm doing. Well, I better be very careful with my knowledge and what I know, because if it's going to cause him to stumble over me, or if it would cause him to go back to his idol worship, well, I saw the preacher doing this. It's not worth it for our taste buds. Did everybody hear that? There are things that you know that you maybe you're convinced that are not wrong. But if there's another brother or sister here that is a stumbling block, you better be careful, because if you cause him, the Bible tells us, I think it's in Romans, that if we partake in something that we're not convinced of, if there's not faith, to him it is sin. Can you imagine another brother that's there and looking at this? You know, I saw the pastor eating this, you know, cut of meat, you know, on, you know, Monday, and it was just Saturday night that, you know, we were there, and I was watching this offered to the, you know, sacrifice to the idol there, and I saw him do that. Maybe there's nothing wrong with this, and within the next week, he's back to his idol worship. I want to tell you something, that's an extreme example, although it's given here, that's an extreme example, but that would be horrible. Because I cared more about that cut of meat that I wanted to eat, that I knew was okay. Paul is saying, you better be careful with all of your knowledge. Is knowledge good? Yes, it is. Ought you to be convinced of what the Word of God says? You ought to. Is it good to know what's right and what's wrong about certain things and come to a conclusion? Yes, this is not what God was talking about. A lot of times people that don't understand and don't know are misinterpreting and misapplying scriptures. They're taking things and they're taking them out of context and misapplying them, and they don't know. But what he's saying here is you better care about what they don't know. And be careful to edify and bring them along than to do something that's going to cause them to stumble. Now, he's going to continue to walk through this here. And so they understood this. These people that were weak, they were considered weak, who understood that these idols were a bad thing, and they were, but they did not understand that eating this meat was really nothing. They didn't get there yet. You know, some of these people, as I just mentioned, were fresh out of idol worship. They knew all the wicked practices. They were associated with this practice. They needed to be so careful not to do anything to influence them to go back to these pagan practices. Now, if these weak believers followed the example of those in the know, and as a result violated their consciences, they would, in a sense, defile themselves. And if it violated his conscience, then it would be wrong. I already mentioned this. I had it in my notes here. Romans 14:23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you might, in faith, understand that it's okay. But if this brother doesn't have it, he doesn't have faith, and you're just there influencing him, and he does it, and he's struggling, well, the preacher's doing it. You know, he's sinning because he's not doing it in faith. He does it because to him, he's doing something that he believes is not right, but he's doing it anyway. We've got to be so careful. You know, it's probably not meat and idols. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of practices that maybe you come to, maybe you've studied them out, and you understand, you know, this is there's nothing with this, or it's not a big deal, or this passage has been misinterpreted by so many people, and I think that it's okay to do this. You might be able to do it, but you be very careful in how you practice it, because there might be some other people around that don't understand, and it would be better for you to just practice Christian liberty and say, no, I'm free to limit myself. But I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. That's limiting yourself for the sake of your brother, your sister. Now, there's a line and there's a limit to this. I know, can we please everybody? No, we can't. And we have to do what's right. But all Paul is saying here is you better be careful. You better be careful. You better do it. I want to be even careful when I say this. You know, okay to do things in your private, but not out in practice. You know what? We need to be consistent people and consistent believers. But what he's saying here is you don't want to. You just want to make sure that you're not causing a brother to stumble. And so he continues on with his argument because there are those who might be offended with the different questionable things. We need to be very careful not to offend. And so he goes in verse 9. Look at verse 9. But take heed, be careful, lest by any means this liberty of yours, you know that it's okay, you study the scripture, but this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So here we're instructed to be careful concerning our liberties so that they do not become a stumbling block to other Christians. Interesting what's in the next two verses. Look at verses 10 and 11. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge. So he's saying, so if somebody sees you, yes, you've got the knowledge, but they see you sit at meat in the idol's temple. Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. That word perish is not necessarily die, but it's to be ruined, or very practically, to come back under the bondage of sin. Again, because of something they saw you doing. Maybe they misinterpreted it. Maybe they don't understand that idol's not anything, that meat is okay. They don't understand that, but they watched you do it, and therefore they went right back to it. Here's the question. What are other people watching you do? Be careful. Be careful. Your brother is at stake. Your sister is at stake. We've got to be so careful with this. But when, verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren. Now, this is, so he's saying, so you weren't very careful. You went ahead and you say, listen, I know better than this. That's just a false god. There's nothing to it. That's just a piece of stone. There's nothing to this meat. It's just meat. I know better than that. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they, you know, they see me doing this. I'm going to go ahead and eat. He says right here, for if any man see thee, or no, verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, he said, ye sin against Christ. This is a serious matter, folks. Paul says that influencing others in this way is sin against the brethren and therefore against Christ. Big deal. So Paul concludes that if my actions, what we do, are going to influence others to sin, if they're going to be a stumbling block to them, though they may be, if I could put in quotes, legal, I must limit myself so that they can and will remain pure. He says in verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. There it is. Isn't that neat? I tell you what, and that is a man of God right there. He knows better. He knows that there's nothing to it. But he said, I care more about other people. And I would rather limit myself. Listen, I don't need that cut of meat. I love that meat. It's tremendous. I know there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm not going to do this because I know that it could be a stumbling block to another person. I'll tell you what, that's Christian maturity there. That's Christian maturity. See, these people were confused. They thought Christian maturity is all that they knew. Paul says, no, Christian maturity is taking what you know, but showing love over that. You better be careful. I really wish that I could take some practical examples here and start to show you. I just want to be so careful because everybody's at a different place with different things. And I just want to be so careful with this. But I just want to say, I want you to ask God. God, would you make things known to me? What am I doing in my life? What are some things, you know? And let me give you some broad topics. How am I entertaining myself? And by the way, when I say this, I'm not saying that these things are, you know, that when you're strong, you can entertain yourself in ungodly ways. I'm not saying that at all. By the way, we need to get down to kind of a little bit of a sidetrack, but a very important thing. Do you realize that we don't get to a certain level in life where we're strong enough that we can withstand sin? That's not at all what he's talking about. Did you hear that? We don't get into a place in our life that we can withstand sin and we're strong enough. I've heard people say, good godly people say this, you know, we're strong enough to do this. My brother and sister, don't deceive yourself. You're not strong enough. And by the way, if Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die for it, then we ought not entertain ourselves with it either. And so this is not talking about the strong brotherhood that, you know, can withstand sin. No, the Christian shouldn't have anything to do with sin. Jesus doesn't have anything to do with it. God has nothing to do with it, neither should the Christian. We're not talking about things that are sinful. We're talking about things that people can get confused with certain things. And I've got some good examples right on the tip of my tongue that I want to share. But I even know as a pastor, it'd be a mixed bag right here in this group of how you would come across on certain things. I just want to say this. That's why I go back to the very beginning and say, that's why it is important to understand what the scriptures say. Because you want to practice what's right. You do. It's important to understand the scriptures, but don't get to the point to where you've known the scriptures, you've studied the scriptures so much that you use it to run right over people. It doesn't matter who you leave behind. That's the point. You learn all you can, but you love your brothers as you go through it. And like I said last week, praise the Lord that God brings us along, because I tell you what, if somebody would have ran me over the first years we got married and told us, I praise the Lord, Melissa and I grew through a lot of example and watching people live. We could tell you to this day that a lot of who we are, not that we are anything, but a lot of who we are was watching godly people in practice, in action, live their lives in a very godly way, and it made an impact on us. It wasn't some people shoving down our throats, you got to change from this, you heathen hooligan, you got to get out of that and do this and do that. I'll tell you what, if they would have done that, I probably wouldn't be here. He said, it probably turned me off. But I'll tell you what, when you watch people live it and they show it, they're living truth. They're not compromising. They're living what's right. They're not compromising. They're not going the worldly way. They're doing what's right, and they've got love. They've got love in everything that they do. That speaks volumes. And that is exactly what Paul's talking about. You know what? You need to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And understand the truths, rightly divide the truths. You know what God's word says, and operate that way, but make sure that you're circumspect. Make sure that you're prudent as you look around. Make sure that anything you're doing is not going to offend other people and discourage them in the Christian faith, because that is even a greater sin. And so he says, stay away. And that's really 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We need to be so careful. And so I would just encourage you. And by the way, if you have certain things and topics and you want to come out, you know, Pastor, what do you feel? Don't even ask me what I think. Ask me, you know, what does the Word of God say? And I'll try to point you some things. But there's all kinds of issues and things out there, even in Christendom, even in independent fundamental Baptist people, you know, that believe certain ways. And these people do this and these people don't do that. And they do this. Again, I just want to encourage you, study the Word of God and live that way. But don't let that knowledge and truth run over people. You operate, and if you even need to limit yourself the rest of your life from participating in something that you know you probably can, but is going to influence and discourage other people, then it's just better to put that thing aside and be an encouragement and building up of another brother. And so there's Paul's admonition, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Be praying through that. God, is there anything in my life, in my practice that I'm doing? What do you do when you hear about that thing? You know, you're in a conversation, you're talking about something that you're going to go and do, and all of a sudden somebody says, I can't believe, you know, my neighbor does this. And you step back and you think, ooh. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is go back and search the scriptures, make sure you're doing right. Because we might miss something. Make sure that you feel like you're doing right. If you conclude that, you know what, I believe that this is right, and maybe that person just doesn't understand these certain things, if you're convinced that it's right, then you need to back up and say, you know what, but for the sake of my brother, I'm going to refrain. And certainly not that they would. Again, this game of trying to do things behind people's backs is, I don't know. That's a very touchy subject and a very interesting subject, but you just need to make sure that you're above reproach with your brothers. Now, I'm saying the same thing over and over again tonight. I hope you're getting it, okay? We need to trust the Lord. Go to God, and He'll help you to live your life the way it ought to. Lord, would you help us? God, Paul hits on this, and we've spent several weeks going through some of this. Although we might not have issues with idol worship and meat offered to it, Lord, there are plenty of things in our lives, you know, in 2023 that, you know, well, this person doesn't do this and this person does that. God, first of all, help us to search the scriptures so that we know, in fact, there might be things that we're doing that really we ought not be doing. We've got to be so careful that to be practicing the way you want, to be holy and separated unto you, which is our reasonable service. God, you've told us that we need to do that. We need to be not like the world, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, I pray that we would live those holy lives. But Lord, we also have to be concerned about other brothers and our sisters. Lord, help us. And although we're not talking about specific topics tonight, Lord, I pray that you would help these people see the areas in their lives that they need to be so careful with, and that you would help them to do right. Help them to do right. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless with these things. Lead us and guide us in the way. In fact, that's what we need to pray for. We need you to lead us. We need you to guide us in the way we should go, so that we are not an offense, so that we're not a stumbling block, so that we can edify and encourage people in the ways of the Lord. God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.